would-be disciple came to a Sufi sage. And he said, I have been listening to you for days now, condemning attitudes and ideas and even conduct which are not mine at all and never have been. What is the purpose of this? The sage said, the purpose of it is that you should, at some point, stop imagining that you have not been like the many things that I seem to condemn, and realize that you have a delusion that you are not like that now. Yes, I understand what the Sufi is saying. And I, myself, in my own humble way as a teacher, realize the power of what he is saying. People think that they are far more than what they think they are. They think they're better. In fact, I have found some very curious things. My students, some of them, will start to do real well, maybe in their business or in their art, and then they start thinking they don't need the practice anymore, or what I am teaching doesn't really matter because they have the proof in their own mind that they are doing very well without practicing or lifting a finger to enter into the practice. This is an interesting phenomenon to me. Instead of being grateful, they become even more greedy. Act without action. Pursue without interfering. Taste the tasteless. What does this mean, to act without action? To pursue without interfering? To take action without action is to stand back and let the natural course of our life that has been scripted for us by ourselves in many past lives, our karma, to take place. It is to trust in the goodness of our nature, our virtue. If we have not cultivated virtue, how can we awaken? You will only think of yourself as a miserable wretch, or whatever you want to think of yourself as being. Most of my students in my career have had very low opinions of themselves and think that that will motivate them. They take the beatings of their ego and their pride and their vanity until the attitude begins to change. We use force and anger and self-hatred to try to motivate us to do quote-unquote better. All of this is fol-de-rol. To act without action is to realize the goodness that is there in us and to learn to listen to that goodness and follow it with all of our heart and realize the soul. If you do anything with all the heart, the real heart, which is really nothing less than the soul, if we live our life in accordance with that soul, with that heart, if we can listen to it, something will begin to happen. You will start to experience things within yourself you had no idea were just laying dormant. The goodness, the intrigue, the insight. The intrigue of having insight that goes beyond my pedestrian mentality. To pursue without interfering means to seek without desire. Not to have this great hope and desire that by doing this practice, by entering into the trustworthiness of our goodness, our virtue, that our life is going to get better. This just makes things even worse. But if you can listen, if you can hear, if you can pursue without pursuing, do without doing, if you can understand that, oh, then you have something very, very beautiful. A man came to a Sufi teacher, and this interchange happened between the two of them. The man said, "I wish to learn. Will you teach me?" The master said, "I do not feel that you know how to learn." The man said, "Can you teach me how to learn?" And the Sufi said, "Can you learn how to let me teach? Can you learn how to let me teach?" This is the essence of it all. Most of my students that I have encountered in my career cannot learn past their need to be important or to solve a problem or to gain some riches. They act with action. They have intent, not like a spiritual practice would have us do, but their intent is to be comfortable, to be happy, to have what they want. This is the demise of our life. We cannot taste the tasteless here. The tasteless is what the human being of, let's say, Gregory here can understand. He can only understand that which persuades him to live in the confines of right and wrong, good and bad, happy and unhappy. He can't go beyond his mental acuity. So instead of leaving Gregory behind, which I do, the average person who is seeking to pursue will interfere with the teachings, will argue with the teachings, and never get anywhere. To step aside simply means that I look at Gregory as another person, not as myself. He is not the me. He is simply him. And he runs this life, or lives in this life, running the gamut of all of his emotions and psychologies, all of which are falderal. They're just ridiculous. To pursue without interfering simply means I do what seems so illogical to my mind for the sake of the goodness of the heart. Can you teach me how to learn? Can you learn how to let me teach? This is a very difficult thing. You would think it would be simple, but it isn't, because desire, ambition, and pride get in the way. And they deteriorate my ability, if I am not careful, to awaken, to accept things, to understand things, to expose myself to things that would awaken me, that would actually help me in my awakening. But no, the ego has its course. And by the time I recognize that, well, doing the difficult becomes impossible. Don't let this happen to you. Never let this happen to you. A great king who had been successful in all ways of life finally started feeling very frustrated. He started searching, and he came across a Sufi master. When he went to see him, he said, "I am ready to do anything, and you must know that I am a man who has never been a failure in anything in life. Whatsoever I have done it, and I have succeeded. Well, the Sufi said, you have succeeded in the world, but that very success proves that you may not succeed within yourself. Because there are different laws that apply to the world, and there are different ways in which you are inquiring about wanting to know more, wanting to realize, wanting to awaken. A man succeeds in the world if he forgets himself completely. That is the rule, said the Sufi. A politician succeeds if he forgets himself completely, and then he cannot awaken. If a man, the Sufi is going on, is obsessive and has gone crazy like you, he succeeds in this world. A man succeeds in gaining riches if he is completely crazy, obsessed, and neurotic about it. You cannot awaken a neurotic person. So the Sufi said, if you have any sense left within you, you will be able to awaken. But if you have lost yourself to the world, said the Sufi, well, madness will be yours. You will forget yourself completely. That is the rule. That is the law, said the Sufi. Well, the king didn't want to hear that. He had been successful in everything. He thought he knew everything. And what could this Sufi teach him? But, said the Sufi, here in our world, just the opposite is applicable. So one has to remember one's real self. The king laughed and said, what is the rule? What would you mean, rule? What rule do I have? I've never failed at anything. You just tell me what the rule is. You just tell me, and I will do it. People get so arrogant. Sufi said, okay. This will be your examination, and if you pass, just 5 minutes are needed. If you pass, I will take you on as a student, as a disciple, as a sannyasin. The king said, let it be done, very arrogantly. The Sufi said, whatsoever I say for these five coming minutes, I want you to say, yes, sir, I believe you. The king said, well, okay, start. The Sufi said, I am the greatest man in the world. A little suspicion arose in the mind of the king, but he outwardly said, yes, sir, I believe you. Then the Sufi said, and when you were born, I was present there. This was even more doubtful because the king was older than the Sufi, who was a young man. And now it was certain that he was lying. But still, he tried to remember. It was hard. He was losing track of everything. He was confused. And he just said, okay, yes, sir, I believe you. Then the Sufi said, and your father was a beggar, a bum. The king forgot completely what the Sufi was saying. He called him a liar and said, I don't believe a single word you are saying. 5 minutes were too long, said the Sufi. You have forgotten. You couldn't even remember for 5 minutes. You may now leave me. Now, this little story is more than a story. It sounds crazy, but to the ears of the average person, the pedestrian mentality, what the Sufi was saying, even though they were outrageously crazy, he wanted to see if the king could drop his attitude, his learning how to act with the intent of action, how he had interfered in the process of his own awakening all during his life by being so certain about his thoughts, certain about what he believed in. He wanted to see, could this man hear things he would disagree with but not fight with? Well, when you're arrogant and you have thought that maybe the world owes you that how great thou art, and you hear the angels constantly singing in your ears, well, that is not the right attitude. What was Jesus' first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Never forget how important humility is to the way of the way. This is tasting the tasteless. You can hear. You can recognize. You come into a sphere in this lifetime that is totally different from anything you've ever known in your life. Can you be open? Can you be receptive? Can you start feeling the ebb and the flow of your virtue? And if you can, it will make no sense to your neurotic mind, a mind that is only filled with getting, wanting, having, getting, wanting, having, getting, wanting, having, over and over again. You will no longer be underminded. You will start to hear the rhythm, the teachings of the Buddha, the teachings of Jesus as Christ consciousness. These are rare teachings. They don't merge with the worldly thoughts of logic and reasoning. No, because these teachings go beyond that. Oh, I imagine the despair, because Jesus said it, that he had for his disciples when he cried out, "How much longer must I be with you?" He knew. Hard-headedness, ego, vanity, pride. He knew about all of this. He knew how difficult it was to teach people who can't hear, who can't learn, who think that whatever is being taught doesn't apply to them because they have achieved so much in their earthly life, or they have a high opinion of themselves in this earthly life. On and on and on this goes with students. After a while, they just can't take it anymore. They either break down and start the process of awakening, or they leave the practice. Some never even stayed in the practice. They thought it was just theory or philosophy. It takes many a lifetime and many a human heartbreak in many different ways in this world and in worlds that we have been in and the worlds probably to come before we really sit down with ourselves and realize, I know not what I do. This is extremely important for you to understand. Now, if you can understand this, it will mean that you have come to a profound sense of humility. It is only in humility that we find the means of the way within us. Act without action. Do without doing. Just watch. You will see you are being guided by that beautiful hidden hand of love that is your soul, is your being. And then when you start to act, don't interfere with thoughts that get in the way of what you are doing. Let love live you. And in that, you will taste the tasteless. You will come to that magnificent place within yourself where the goodness and the mercy that is life itself will bless you. I would be privileged right now, though I am not with you in the flesh, to meditate with you. I'm going to give you a little teaching from Lao Tzu, and let's meditate together, you and me. The wise set their hearts upon the essence rather than what surrounds it. They choose the fruit, not the flower. And they prefer what is within to that which is without.